Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Christmas special! It's the Christmas special. This is the beginning of part two. Go back to the feed if you haven't heard part one, where we've been chatting to Andrew and listening about all your funny, disastrous stories about Christmas and also what Christmas is like for you. Here's part two. Can I ask you a question about how this whole role came about for you? Because it involves being on getting a massage, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a really provocative way to start the story. Which
yeah, that sounds like I'm trying to make it racy. Sorry,
yeah, racy. My best friend in New York City is a man called Greg Miele, and he is the greatest massage therapist I've ever had, and the greatest human being in my life. I love him so much. And he also works on a bunch of other people in the Broadway community, Lin-Manuel Miranda being one of them. So Lin was on his table one day and he said to Greg, "You're really close with Andrew, right?" And Greg was like, "Yeah, he's my brother. I love him." And Lin said, "Well, do you know if he can sing? And because I have a project that I want to talk to him about." And Greg, you know, being the great friend that he was and is, just kind of immediately launched into how great a singer I was and how I, you know, no one has ever, you know, I'm like a combination of, you know, Audra McDonald and, you know, Ariana Grande, like whatever, like, you know, I have
ponytail.
Yeah, exactly. and Lynn leaves the massage room going, "Huh, okay, good. Garfield can sing." And then as soon as he leaves, Greg calls me and asks me if I can sing. And he says, "Now you have to be able to sing, Andrew, because I've now lied to Lin-Manuel Miranda because I'd never sung before."
Singing is amazing.
Oh, thanks. Well,
it really is.
That's very kind of you. And you know, it took a village. You know, I worked really, I had a year. So Lin asked me in person. He said, Greg says you can sing. Can you sing? And I asked him, "When do you want to shoot?" And he said, "You know, not within the year." And I said, "Yeah, I think I can sing." Mm. So he provided me the time and the resources to expand that part of myself. And I don't know if are you a singer? Have you ever sung before?
Andrew, I'm tone deaf. People actually write in and complain when I sing on this podcast. Like, I think it sounds great. But
well, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Thank you.
And that's how John was as well, by the way. John was
really.
Oh yeah, you know, you watch him. He's not like a trained, tremendous musical theater singer. He's just a fully impassioned, embodied, like singing to the back row of the galaxy, like as if his life depended on it, which it did. So yeah, well, you're in line there
a fellow artist. I can relate.
Yeah, exactly. But I had Liz Kaplan, who is this incredible teacher. Who is beyond a teacher? She's one of those kind of guru people that you don't know are changing she's changing your life without you being aware of it. Like she's peeling back anything that shut down that valve that closed up that part of your heart. And you know, I would be in giggling fits. I would sob. I would, you know, it was a very emotional kind of, yeah, because you're accessing parts of you that have been long forgotten and that have been long shut down, you know, that place of full expression.
Oh, that's why it's beautiful, right? That's why singing is beautiful, because it's you're letting it out of your soul in a way that we can't always articulate with words.
Exactly. And that's what I think is so incredible about musicals and great musicals is, you know, it's not just people breaking into song. It's people that where just talking isn't enough. Where if I'm in a conversation with you and I, you know, and I can't, we all have that in a fight or in an argument or in a moment of love with someone where, or like, you know, where you're like, oh my God, it's not enough to like, I want to express, like, I want to like find a way to like shrink myself, crawl into your ear, crawl down into your body and like find the way to your heart and like bang the inside of it to show you how much I adore you or how much I loathe you or how much I want to wake you up, whatever it is. And singing becomes in musicals as a conceit, it becomes the closest thing to being able to do that, which is really, really beautiful.
I think it's why we connect with them, because it's like people are saying stuff we know we can't in the everyday.
But
what's it like, because I know that you trained in theatre, but musical theatre wasn't your world, and you know, I'm aware there'll be masses of huge musical theatre fans here and listening, I mean, not in the room. And what's it like kind of entering that world? Is there a sense of trepidation?
There was for me, because I have such respect for that world. I find it, you know, I think I've never let myself fully imagine or dream that I could have been in a musical until Lynn provided me with this kind of space and confidence to do it and belief to do it. Because I, you know, I'm an audience member in a musical. You watch the Tina Turner musical, and for example, I think that was one of the last things I watched before lockdown. And the actress that was playing Tina was kind of coming in and out of Liz Kaplan's voice studio while I was warming up, and I had just seen her the night before, and I kind of fell to my knees. And I kind of started just to kind of like, I was just like kissing her feet metaphorically, because I was like, how? I have no idea how. Like, it was like watching a magician, a goddess really on stage who had like access to emotion, to a physical capacity, a lung capacity, a power that I can never ever imagine myself having. It was like, it's like watching LeBron James or like, you know, or like Simone Biles, like, you know, it's like watching someone doing something superhuman. And I feel that way about musical theater performers. And I felt that way about the people that Lynn had cast and brought in as this theater community for around John, and John being a part of, you know, Vanessa Hudgens, like the authority, the power, her voice, like her, like she's a thoroughbred, man. She and like and same with Alex Shipp and Robin DeJesus and MJ Rodriguez and Ben Ross, like and then you, let alone the Sunday sequence, which I know whoever's a fan of this film knows what I'm talking about. Like, you know, when you're faced with Bernadette, there's nothing you can do but bow. There's nothing you can do that put your hand on your heart and try to let her know how beloved and how grateful we are for her existence. So I was full of trepidation coming in, but then the other thing that I found deeply moving was I was like, these people, these musical theater people are the nicest people I've ever been, you know, kind of jumped into as a tribe. Like they, you know, I remember singing for the first time in front of Josh Henry and Vanessa and, Alex and Robin, and we were working on 3090. I think we were just working through it with Alex Lacamoire, who's Lynn's right hand man, who's his musical arranger and genius, kind of like other part of his brain. And I did the first phrase in front of these guys so nervously, so like shakily and terribly, surrounded by them. And I knew it wasn't good. But as soon as I was done with the first phrase, Alex was like, "Woo, Andrew, goddamn!" And like Josh Henry's like, "Andrew, what the hell, man? Yes, man, yes, sir." And Vanessa's like, "Yes, baby, yes, girl." And I'm like, "What?" I'm so moved by their lying, loving kindness, and I was, and I kind of absorbed that. I absorbed it from my own, you know, perspective that, you know, I wasn't there yet. And I just turned to them. I was like, "I love you guys so much. This is like one of the best experiences I've ever had with a company of people, like the support and like they know what it takes to make a flower bloom. They knew that they had to keep me open and to keep me on the up and up. They knew that I could get there, I think.
Yeah, and it's that support and love is what you need. And I feel like musical theatre has been a haven for a lot of people. You know, it's misfits end up there. And I mean misfits in the best possible sense. So it becomes this kind of beautiful family. And the other thing I loved is that there was a portrayal of like allyship, which Jonathan Larson fought for LGBTQ plus people forever, but also friendship, you know, and his relationship with Michael. And one of the things you mentioned, which was, I thought, really beautiful, was there's that moment where he says, you know, I'm trying not to do a spoiler, where he says he's really unwell.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. And and he says, oh, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
And he goes, I tried.
Right.
And I just thought it's that moment speaks a lot to what you were saying about the tick tick of Jonathan Larson. Like, should I have spent more time with my friends? How do we spend our days left on this earth, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. And I think the ticking can be either a call to action and a kind of a racing heart, or it can paralyze, or it can slow you right down. I in a really beautiful way, like create more presence.
And what do you do? Where do you fall on that? As you know, you choose your next thing and how you want to spend and try and do interesting and important work and all of that.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's such a good question, and I think it's a question that it should be asked every morning. That's how I can't avoid that question every day. And it changes all the time. I know in my 20s, I was very Jonathan. You know, I was in my 20s, early 30s, I felt like I had a lot to prove to myself. I felt like I needed to. And I feel like this is archetypal for that age, for that period of time where we as people are trying to figure out our belonging, trying to figure out where we feel welcome, trying to figure out where we feel useful, where we feel valued, where we feel safe. And also where we feel a little bit unsafe in a good way, like where are the edges for ourselves, and where are those places where we're going to get a bit lost and lose track and get it wrong, and also maybe could just expand, you know, expand into the more whole version of ourselves. So for me, I was in a big rush in my 20s and early 30s, and I would say during Angels in America, everything started to change for me. I think that project felt like it was waking up something in me, that a new version, maybe because I was just so exhausted, but also because the themes of that play are, you know, it's everything, you know, it's everything. It's asking the same questions, you know, with Prior Walter at the fountain in Central Park at the end, with the angel there, like he's faced death and he's chosen life. And then what I find so moving about that final monologue is that he's describing in such beautiful present detail the quality of the light, the quality of the air, how the trees change color from season to season. He becomes this kind of Zen monk in a way. And there's this deeper presence and acceptance of the beauty, the awe, and the tragedy and agony of life. There's a both and kind of living into reality and acceptance, a surrender to the mystery of life. And I think John gets there to that same place in Tick Tick Boom while he's at the piano in the Delacorte, and he has to meet his friend's sickness. He has to meet the potential loss of his friend, the potential loss of his own life, the potential loss of his relationship. And only in meeting that loss do for me anyway, and in my own life, having met a very, very profound loss in my personal life after Angels in America and in between that and this, that has shifted everything for me in terms of how I want to live and who I want to be and how alive I want to be in it. And there's a slowing down. I think there's something beautiful once we integrate and live with this awareness that the clock is always ticking and that we're only here for a short time. So let's choose let's choose how to spend it every day and course correct every day. I find that really quite an inspiring idea.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yes, and you know, listen, I know you've spoken about it a bit, but I'm really sorry to hear about that loss of your mum. And
thank you.
Know, it's I lost my dad, and it's a tectonic shift, isn't it? You know, just
that's
everything
right.
takes on a whole new. Suddenly, you realise this is all going to end, and
yeah.
therefore everything takes on a new purpose. Or
yeah.
why am I doing this? Is the question yeah. that you know it, we're lucky enough to be able to ask ourselves.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and the tectonic shift is such a great way of putting it, and it's. Because actually, I don't know if you experienced this, but it was like a veil was lifted, actually. Mm-hmm. Like everything that I thought reality to be, or I had perceived reality to be, suddenly there was a curtain was drawn back. And actually, where I thought there was a mountain, there was actually a stream. And where I thought there was a meadow, there was actually a volcano. And oh, wait a minute, I've been in an illusion. I've been living in a matrix, and actually I don't want to live in a world where it's possible that my mother could not be here anymore, but the only way of living truly in the world is by accepting that this has been happening since the dawn of time. And
yeah.
sons have been losing their mothers, daughters have been losing their parents, you know, and actually I came to understand that, like, that's the best case scenario. Like, much better for me to lose her than for her to lose me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a natural progression of things. Anyway, it's a fascinating subject, and I'm thank you for bringing it up, because I actually do think it's something that we don't talk about enough, because it's the thing that binds us all.
No, when my dad died, actually, I tried to talk to my friends about it. Not all of them, but you know, they all just kind of went a bit strange and were like. You know, and I was like, oh, okay, people don't want to talk about this. And it's really hard, you know, it's really hard to process, and no one does it with you.
Right. Well, I will say this, like, and I'm sorry to hear that about certain friends in your life that felt they couldn't be there in a certain way.
I sent them a letter. No,
but I will say this, like, I have, it was such a weird thing, like, with that loss, because, you know, that it's foundational, right? As you say, it's tectonic, but also with a mother, it's like the person that gave you life, the person that was your container for life. Suddenly that you can start to feel like you're falling through the cosmos a little bit. Right. But it was a strange thing. Like I would have my core group of friends that kind of became a surrogate. It was a strange thing, like them and nature, them and Hampstead Heath, you know, them and
what a combo.
Yeah, but like they kind of knitted together to create a safety net under me for a while. I wasn't talking to them on the phone all that much because I was just kind of licking my wounds and grieving. But I tell you what, man, like their text messages, their emails, their little check-ins going, no need to respond, love you, thinking of you, whenever you need, we're here. It became a balm, but it also became a kind of... I don't know. Yeah. Like a place to land, a place to feel held, contained. Like
that's amazing.
It was so beautiful, man. And I really want everyone deserves that kind of tribe of people in their lives. And I'm so grateful for mine.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased that they were there to support you. I really am. Now, Andrew, I've just got one last question for you. Agony uncling.
Oh boy.
you are a big-hearted soul. So I wonder if you would help me answer one of our questions. It's not too taxing.
I would love to.
Okay.
Okay.
So lots of people talking about their Christmases, because it's quite weird for LGBT people, because often they have to go back in the closet at Christmas and stuff, and it can be quite tricky. But one we've had through today is, my grandma keeps bringing up the topic of kids, I suppose of me having kids, despite her knowing my answer. How do I politely stop this conversation and get her to understand why I dislike it?
Wow, that's not an easy one to deal with. That's very, very complicated and tricky because, you know, it speaks to a kind of, the image of a grandma, it's like, oh, all you want to do is please your grandma.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they haven't got a lot of time left and you want to give them what they want, even though you know you're physically incapable of doing it. And it's just literally not going to happen. So, I would love to hear from you first, Chris, to be honest.
Well, first things first, I'm thinking you need to confiscate the Quality Street. She's not having any of them. I think people tiptoe around our elder members of our family.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you got to remember they're adults too, and you got to give it to them straight and say, listen, grandma, I know that you really want grandchildren and that would be lovely, but it's not what you're going to get. So I'd like you to stop.
I mean, there's nothing I can add to that. I think that's really, really beautiful. And it's a self-respecting answer. And actually it's a respectful answer towards her as well. It's not pulling any punches. Yeah. It's allowing her to have her emotional response to that. And rather than trying to control the situation or mitigate her response, I think it's the most direct approach. And then, you know, that's the tricky thing with boundaries, isn't it? Because then what if she just carries on anyway? Then the next thing you have to do is just leave the room.
You don't invite her to next Christmas. That's what you do. Also, I don't do it at the Christmas table. That, you know, you can do it in a nice, calm, private environment. Never do it in front of other people, I would say, wouldn't you?
That's really good. Yeah, I think that's important. Yeah. I guess I wonder.
I'm being quite tough on grandma.
No, I know. But it's tough love. It's toughly loving. And I'm with you, Chris. I'm with Chris on this.
Good. What are your Christmases like? Are they raucous affairs or are you...
Oh man, I love Christmas so much. I have a Friendsmas and it's lovely. It's chosen family stuff. It's my group that I was telling you about, and
yeah,
it's my Jonathan Larson community, you know. And so this year we're actually gonna converge in Los Angeles. I have a little double wide trailer near the beach in Los Angeles, and it's like a little beach shack, and a few friends are going to come out, and we're just going to have a sweet Friendsmas. And it used to be, this is the other thing, it used to be, you know, my mum was always the center of our Christmas, you know, and she was like the great cook. She was like the stressed out, like, it's not going to work cook that just like created a masterpiece for, you know, 7 or 8 people. And then like, we all just kind of praised her for the rest of the day. And then she just slept while we were all playing board games and watching movies. And so, yeah, it's changed a lot. And, I'm going to miss my brother and dad and my nephews this year, but I'll be back to see them soon. So yeah, it'll be a sweet, weird LA Friendsmas with a couple of my closest people.
Oh, brilliant.
What about you?
So I've got everybody coming here, like 15 people. So I've got all of my family, my side, all of my husband's side and stepfamily.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to be... But William, my husband's sister, is very kindly doing all the cooking.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just like... going to do show tunes and drinks.
so good,
be good. Oh well, listen, thank you so much for doing
thank
this
you.
And have the best Friendsmas and the best Christmas.
You too, Chris. I appreciate it. It was lovely to talk.
What a lovely man. And thank you, Andrew, for your help with the agony uncle question. You got to give granny hell. That's all I'm going to say. Listeners, Merry Christmas. I thank you so much for being amazing, amazing people this year. It has been a delight to be chatting to you every week, hearing from you. And this week has been particularly special hearing about your Christmases. And I loved your funny stories and I loved your really honest stories about what it's actually going to be like for you. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. We Homo sapiens are here for you. We are one big family. And if you're ever feeling lonely at Christmas, all you have to do, stick on this podcast or get in touch with us, Homo sapiens, on Instagram or at Homo sapiens podcast on Facebook, or hello at Homo sapiens podcast on email. And let us know what you thought of that chat with Andrew. Let us know what you thought about all of our Christmas stories. Loads of love to you all, and wishing you the merriest of all the Christmases. And all those who don't celebrate it either, wishing you a happy holiday should you be lucky enough to get one. I'm sending you a load of love.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.